ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभं व्यास शंकर मध्यमं अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंतं वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ब्रह्मानंदं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यं एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधी साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मामा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्म उपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मामा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः वै ऐ रिपीटेड् शान्ति पाठः टुडे बिकास् दिस् इस् कृष्णपक्ष चतुर्दशी इन् दिस् मन्त् 14th डे आफ्टर् फुल् मून् अण्ड् द डे बिफोर् न्यू मून् अण्ड् वेन् यु प्रे द प्रेयर् विल् बि इफेक्टिव् एनी डे प्रेयर् इस् इफेक्टिव् And we saw in the first chapter of Chandogya Upanishad, anything you do, any prayer you do, if you do it knowingly, if you do it faithfully, if you do it thoughtfully, it will be more efficacious. That is, and when you do it, we don't mechanically do the Chantipata because we really need Bhagavan's grace to make our efforts effective. Now, that is something very important thing we have to remember here. Why all these upasanani are prescribed? Why meditations are prescribed? Because there are two things involved here. Even though the present life is determined by our past life, the future life is still determinable by our present life. Therefore, not everything is not predestined and predetermined. Even though there is some still that we have to make use of our own will And we have to definitely will, using our will is very important, because nothing can be accomplished if our will is not used and our efforts are not involved. No, we do not do. Which means, that is why Veda Shastram also prescribes the upasanas, prescribes the what now Purush, analyzes the Purusharthas, presents in front of us. See, come on, this is Artha, this is Kama, this is Dharma, this is Moksha, these are the Purusharthas present in front of us. But Bhagavan does not make us do, pursue Artha, Kama, Dharma. We have to remember one fact, Bhagavan does not make us pursue Artha, Kama, Dharma. This is Artha. Artha is required for this. This is the advantage of, advantages of possessing Artha. This is the limitation of the Artha. What Artha can give, what Artha cannot give. The same way, these are the enjoyments of pleasures, and this is the enjoyment of pleasures. This what is the advantage of enjoyment of pleasures and the limitations of pleasures. And this is what is Dharma. No, you have to use your will to choose to do the right. You can choose to avoid the wrong. No, this Dharma, you follow Dharma, there is a merit, there is a punyam. If you go against Dharma, there is a papam, this will result in, it's a defect, it's a demerit. Shastram prescribes. So, punyam is, so only present. This is what is moksha. The fact, the moksha, this is what is moksha. Actually, you are searching for, knowingly or unknowingly, what we are searching for is fullness, happiness, and which is also what? This can never be attained because it is always there. Happiness, fullness, limitless is always there as the very nature of the reality, as your own self, your own nature is always there. It cannot be accomplished, achieved. Which means it has to be discovered. So in front of us, these are prescribed here. But here, we have to choose to make use of our will. We have to choose to pursue Artha. We have to choose to pursue Kama. We have to choose to live a life of Dharma. We have to choose to know. Understand now? So choice is on our part. Choice is not on Bhagavan's part. Okay? Bhagavan has blessed us with the willpower. Why? For us to choose. Understand? Bhagavan has blessed us with the willpower for us to be able to choose. Therefore, we have to choose. We have to make a choice. What we want, what we do not want. What we should do, what we should not do, we have to choose. Once this is called what now? Initiation on one's own part, efforts on one's own part. And once we make, our efforts are appropriate efforts, our efforts are adequate efforts, proper efforts, then also what now? Then we will definitely tap Bhagavan's grace. So the efforts themselves are not enough for accomplishing our ends. We have to remember this fact. Without the efforts, nothing can be accomplished. And mere efforts also are incomplete, inadequate. The efforts become, adequately effective. Effective only if you also have the assistance and the support of, Bhagavan's grace. Effort needs assistance in terms of Bhagavan's grace, anugraha. The truth is very important. If you make efforts, the effort is appropriate, adequate, in conformity with Dharma, you also have Bhagavan's grace. And together, efforts plus grace is equal to accomplishment, fulfillment, success. Even a failure also will be a success. Okay, this is what is important. That is why we have to make our efforts. Initiative must be on one's own part. We should not think Bhagavan will do everything for us. No. So Shastram prescribes, presents all these things. Still, we have to make use of our own will. Okay. So here, we've been seeing these upasanas in this first section. That's why even when you do this chanting, we can say, no, I'm studying Chandogya Upanishad. So what is that Upanishad belong to? Samaveda. What is the Shanti Pataha? Apyayantu, something we chant in the class. No. We should say, you all must have memorized the Shanti Pataha. And then you, when you are doing it, please do it knowingly. Please do it faithfully. Please do it also what? Consciously. So here, whatever we do, we must be doing what? Thought, we should knowingly, but the day, the very first chapter of Upasanam, what you've understood is, the last word, Vidyaya Kritam, Shraddhaya Kritam, Upanishada Kritam is what? Viryavattaram Bhavati, Yad. You can understand this sentence. This sentence comes in the first chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad, in the first section. First chapter, first section, what you have already seen last class, I think 2 classes ago. Yad, yad is a relative pronoun. Whatever, whichever, yadai seidhar, yadahilum, yad, vidyayakritam, knowingly done. It means knowing the meaning of it. Then, shraddhayakritam, faithfully done, no, it is effective. Shraddhaya Kritam. Then Upanishada Kritam, thoughtfully, with focused attention, attentively done. No, you say Upanishada Kritam, tad, that, Viryavattaram Bhavati, that becomes more efficacious, more effective. So when you are doing this prayer also, don't do it mechanically, because anything done is effective. You really want your limbs to be healthy and hale and healthy, say, Aapyayantu mamangani, Aapyayantu mamangani, Aapyayantu mamangani. May all my limbs be healthy, strong. It's a real prayer. You should mean it. Aapyayantu mamangani, vak pranaschakshushrotramatho, vak pranaschakshushrotramatho. May all my powers be fit condition, strong and powerful, effective. Vak pranas chakshushrotramatho balam indriyani cha sarvani. May all my subtle powers be strong, subtle instruments of knowledge. External physical limbs also must be hale and healthy, strong. Internal subtle instruments of knowledge, instruments of actions also be strong. May all my pranas, the functions be healthy, strong. Also what we say, Aapyayantu mamangani vak pranas chakshushrotramatho balamindriyani cha sarvani sarvam brahma upanishadam. And this is the Upanishadic fact, the fact emphasized, revealed by this Upanishad. This is the vision of the Upanishad is what? Sarvam Brahma. All that is here is only the reality. Sarvam Brahma. Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam. There's nothing other than the truth. It is the most abstract fact. Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam. All that is here is only the reality. There is only Brahma, all here is only Brahma, is the fact revealed by the Upanishad. Therefore what? Maham Brahma Nirakuryam. Maham Brahma Nirakuryam. May I not reject, keep away, ignore the reality. Because we never pay attention to the reality. Therefore, what now? We are least bothered about the reality. We are not interested in knowing what the reality is, how the reality is. Okay, we are not interested in the knowledge of the reality at all. No, may, if everything is the reality, and I should pay all my attention to discover what that reality is. So, maham brahma nirakuryam means what now? May I not reject reality? May you cannot reject reality. Always reality is there. But my not knowing what the reality is, rejecting, ignoring, keeping away from reality. So may not do that. May try all my possible efforts to know the reality. Second thing, Ma Brahma Nirakarot. Ma Brahma Nirakarot. One is one mom actually. Ma Brahma Nirakarot. May the reality, may Bhagavan, who sorup with the reality, not reject me, means what? May I not be deprived of the vision of the truth. Ma Brahma Nirakarot. May you be blessed with the vision of the truth. May I not reject thee, remain without paying attention to the knowledge of the truth. May I not be deprived of the vision of the truth. Ma Brahma Nirakarot. Maham Brahma Nirakuryam. Ma Brahma Nirakarot. Anirakaranam astvanirakaranam me astu. Anirakaranam astu. Anirakaranam astu means what now? Let there not be rejection on my part. Let there not be rejection on the part of the reality. Which means what? May I make all possible efforts to discover the truth. So also may I have all the grace for me able to discover the truth. That's why two anirakaranams. May I make all possible efforts on my part to discover the truth. And may I have all Bhagavan's grace, to be capable of discovering the truth. So efforts also, you have to pray for your own efforts. You have to pray for Bhagavan's grace also. Anirakaranamastu. First, may there not be rejection on my part. What does it mean? May I make all possible efforts to discover the truth. Anirakaranamastu. What an excellent anikanam. May I have all the grace of Bhagavan to be able to discover the truth. Anirakaranamastu anirakaranam me astu. Tadatmani nirateya upanishatsu dharma. Who gets it? Dharmaste mayi santo, se mayi santo, om shanti shanti shantihi. Ye dharmaha upanishatsu santi, te mayi santo. All the values, disciplines taught in the Upanishads, be understood and lived by me. May the vision of the truth revealed in the Shastram also be assimilated and ascertained by me. May the vision of the Shastram become part of me. So may I have the vision of the truth. So that what a beautiful prayer this is. Because nothing else you cannot make a better prayer than this. Okay? It's a beautiful prayer. Because it is, don't think I'm Swamiji simply repeating this. I'm doing it mainly. I want you to do that today because it is Krishna Paksha Chaturdashi Tithi. In the Adhikamasa. Okay. Anyway, certain thing I didn't translate. Sorry for that. Okay, now let us go into get into this Upanishad. So, in this Upasanams, we knowing what the upasanam is for. Upasanam, the meditation, is definitely for the steadying the mind. For antakarana shuddhihi, antakarana naischalyam. We know the karma yoga is for mental purity, to resolve, to neutralize, to manage our emotions, the thoughts, you know, which rise naturally on their own in our minds, which we are not creating. The same way meditation is for steadying the distracted, agitation, restless mind. No, meditation is the means. These two are the two disciplines to prepare the mind in terms of mental purity and mental steadiness. Definitely, mind goes on, mind becomes calm. But during the practice of meditation, definitely, if we start seriously practicing any Nama Japa or any meditation for length of time, attentively when you do it, definitely it will be very effective. It will calm your mind to that extent that there is a pleasure, because in the meditation will result in some sort of samadhi experience. I want to tell you today very carefully. What is samadhi here? If you are not practicing meditation at all, people who are very restless, you can't even meditate first of all. Then no problem. Okay, but people who are meditating, somehow because of their practice, it is natural for them to have some experience as a result of meditation. Apart from the mental steadiness, the mind becoming calm can go to that extent what one can have samadhi experience. What is samadhi experience? In samadhi experience is when you start meditating for length of time, as soon as you sit in the meditation, immediately the attention, it doesn't happen overnight. The attention will be shifted quickly from all the objects. Now, attention of the mind gets shifted naturally from all the objects. Then what happens? It resolves. And in fact, in meditation, sometimes you forget yourself. You will not be conscious of your own self. Even the object of meditation also will be resolved sometimes. And even the meditator also will be resolved. In meditation, in samadhi experience is non-dual experience. In samadhi, you will have non-dual experience. Non-dual experience is not the vision of the non-dual reality. Non-dual experience is not the vision of the non-dual reality. Is not the knowledge of the non-duality of the reality. Therefore, we should be very careful. Non-dual experience is, what is non-dual experience? In non-dual experience, because of the constant, continuous, regular, rigorous practice of meditation for a long time, if you are not practicing, you won't even know, understand it. But I'm really telling you, this is the result. Because of the rigorous, continuous, practice of meditation for a long time, whenever you sit in meditation, immediately the object of meditation, will hold attention, the universe, external world of objects will resolve for you. How in sleep, the external world of objects does not exist for the one who is asleep. Similarly, for the one who is in meditation also, the external world of objects will not be there for some time. And not only that, then the object of meditation also will not be there for him. And not only that, even the knowledge of one's own existence also what will be resolved in meditation. When there is no knowledge of the existence of one's own self, when there is no knowledge of the existence of the world, then what happens? That's called non-dual experience. What is experience of duality means what? Experience of duality means knowledge of the existence of one's own self, the knowledge of the existence of the world, I am, the world is. If the knowledge of the existence of one's own self in terms of I am, if knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is, it is there, it's called what? Experience of duality. I am this. Experience of duality or dual experience. If the knowledge of the existence of one's own self is not there, it means what? One's own self is forgotten. If the existence of the world also is forgotten, is resolved, then what? There is non-dual experience. And so in waking, you have experience of duality. In sleep, you have experience of what? No, you have non-dual experience. Experience of duality, experience of non-duality should not be mistaken for the vision of the non-dual reality. Is it clear now? In sleep, you have experience of duality. In sleep, you have experience of non-duality, which means non-dual experience. In waking, you have dual experience. Therefore, in samadhi also, you what now? See, sleep, you can just sleep when the mind gets tired. But in meditation, you're focusing, you're sitting, and it's almost what now? Very close. Like in sleep, you also have meditation also. You have what? Non-dual experience. Then, whenever there is non-dual experience, there cannot be self-identity. So in non-dual experience, you lose your, what now? You do not have identity. Whenever you do not have identity, okay, in non-dual experience, identity will not be there. Identity is not possible. If identity is not there, then there is no pain. When do you have pain? Experience of pain, experience of sorrow, experience of smallness. Any problem is possible only when you are there enjoying identity. I am. No, identity must be there for you to enjoy any pain. When in there's no identity at all, in right identity, in knowledge, you have happiness. In wrong identity, in waking, you have problems. In non-identity, in sleep, you have no problem. In non-identity, you have no problem. There is bliss. In wrong identity, in waking, you have problems. In right identity, in knowledge, also you have happiness. I'm repeating the sentence. In right identity, in knowledge, you have happiness. In wrong identity, in the waking, you have pain and pleasure. And in non-identity, in sleep, you have no problems. That's why it's called bliss. Like that, in samadhi also is something very, very nice. Very, very, very cozy. No, it's like in London, in cold weather, covering yourself in quilt. I know sleeping is what now? Cozy. In the same way here also, what now? In samadhi also, because you practice and practice and practice, the attention is shifted from the world to the object also resolves, even the meditator, very knowledge of the existence of absorption in the object is such that even one forgets one's own self. Therefore, meditation also, the samadhi experience also, what now? there is non-dual experience like in sleep. I'm not saying it is the sleep, okay? It's not like in sleep. Therefore what? There's no identity. Whenever you lose your identity, there is no pain. When there is no pain, it is what? That's why we call it bliss experience. And people would love it. You would love it. And you do not mistake the bliss experience which you have as a result of non-identity in samadhi for moksha or knowledge or enlightenment. So very important. Okay, and remembering this fact, you have to understand these meditations. Even though I have made very clear that these meditations we are not going to practice, but understanding these meditations is what? Very, very useful and nice to really understand. It also widens our vision of visualization of Bhagavan, Ishvara. So I said in the last class, Omkara Upasanam, in the first section of the first chapter, we understood the Omkaraha. The Omkaraha is known as Udgitaha only in the Samavedaha. Another word for Omkaraha is what? Udgitaha. And I said last class also, why Omkaraha is called Udgitaha? Om Harihi Om. Om Harihi Om. Om. When you say what is Om? It is called Udatta Swara. This is how you utter Omkara when you chant Yajurveda or any other Veda. But when you can't chant Sama Veda, when the musical aspect of Sama is attributed to Om, then it has to be uttered in high pitch. Om. It's called Udgitaha. That's all. And Udgitaha is taken as an alambanam for meditation here. And you know very well what an alambanam is. Alambanam is a substitute, an altar, a symbol for the object of meditation. And any object of meditation in the Veda is what? Definitely, it says Bhagavan, Ishvara, Gunam Brahma, or any of the Devatas, Sagunam Brahma. So here, and Udgita Upasam itself meditated upon what now? Understanding Omkara as the one endowed with threefold qualities, threefold glories. We first presented the Udgita Upasanam. The object of meditation is Omkara itself. In the second section also, we saw Omkara Upasanam, but there we found that Omkara is what? Omkara is in alambanam for the pranaha. And I explained to you why prana is exalted among all the subtle aspects, factors which constitute the sukshma shariram of an individual. Therefore it's called what? Adhyatma upasanam, because prana here may taken as an object of meditation is prana belonging to the individual prana. Now we understood the glory of the prana, and then we also saw in the last class meditation upon prana as an object of meditation. But here, even the prana object of meditation, the prana is invoked in Omkaraha Udgitaha. That's why the meditation is called what? Prana Pratika Udgita Upasanam. Prana Pratika Udgita Upasanam. We understood five different glories of prana. How we? Nod your head. Already finished, na? That one? Okay. So, in last class, we saw prana as the one endowed with the five different glories. And we saw that in the previous class. Now, after the prana pratika udgita upasana, which means five meditations, means what? Prana is the only object, but is the one who endowed with five different glories. Your prana pratika udgita upasana also was over. Then later on, now the next section begins, is what we have to see. In this next section, the object of meditation is what? Not the pranaha, but adityaha. Not prana devata, but adityaha. Adityaha means suryaha. Suryaha means sun. Therefore, sun is a devata, which is the samashti shaktihi, samashti indriya shakti. Therefore, it is if the object of meditation is anything pertaining to the universe, it is called what now? Adhi Daiva Upasanam. If the object of meditation is something pertaining to an individual, it is called Adhyatma Upasanam. What is Adhyatmam? What is Adhi Daivam? Now, anything pertaining to the objective universe is called Adhi Daivam. Anything pertaining to the individual is called Adhyatmam. We talked about the prana last the class. Prana is what now? Individual prana. But now Surya is what? Surya is, sun is, the stand for samashti prana. We can samashti shaktihi adityaha. Therefore we call it what? Adhi Daiva Upasanam. And here also, we meditate upon now Aditya Pratika Udgita Upasanam. Here also, Adit Sun is invoked in the Omkara Udgitaha. And why here, between the Sun and the Omkaraha, why do we, in this section, next section, why Sun is taken as an object of meditation? Why? Because the three factors are presented by the Upanishad. There is some common features between the sun and the Omkaraha. How? He says, the sun is the one who rises above, up in the sky. I told you, don't take it seriously. It's all imaginative expressions of the rishis for the sake of visualization, visualizing the objects. Sun rises above, upari prakashate. Sun rises above, up in the sky, and all, that is the feature of the sun. Then here, see, from relatively, if we look at the sun, the standpoint of the earth, it looks as though sun rises up in the sky. Understand? The sun rises up. And Udgitaha also is what now? Omkaraha uttered in high pitch. Udgitaha is what now? Omkaraha uttered in high pitch. Therefore, we say what? This is the common pitch between Omkara and Adityaha sun. And second, I'm telling you now why sun is invoked in Omkara. The second thing, the sun is what? Sun, just by its mere presence, you know, presence contributes for the life of all the beings. Sun is what? No, sun alone lends life for all the beings. How? Through enlivening. It enlivens all the beings, energizes all the beings. How? By contributing for the life of all the beings. How? We know very well. But for the sun, there will not be evaporation, there will not be condensation, there will not be rains, there will not be, then the crops cannot grow, first of all, from the earth. Even if crops growing also what? And photosynthesis is not possible, then the food production is not possible. If the plants cannot survive, then we do not have our food. Okay? Our food is what? From the plants only. And the plants are actually what? Nothing but modified form of solar energy. Every plant you see in green color, healthy, nutritious, nourishing. Every plant is what? Full of nutrients. All the grains, all the plants, all the leaves, all the fruits, all the vegetables, all everything we eat is what? Food is only vegetation. Vegetarian. And that food, vegetation, the entire kingdom of vegetation is nothing but solar energy completely converted, modified and appearing in the different form of the vegetation. So you have to think really every plant, every leaf, every stem, every tree, the anything plant, sthavara, sthavara jantuhu means what? Sthavara jantuhu means a living being which remains without moving is called what? Sthavara. And we are all what? Living beings, mobile beings. Jangama. Jangama means mobile living beings. Sthavara means unmoving, stationary beings. So every sthavara jantu means every living being, you know, obtain what now? Remaining unmoving is called sthavara. So entire plant, the entire plant kingdom, the kingdom of vegetation is really speaking complete different. It looks, sun is different, plants are different. But really speaking, all the plants are what? Nothing but modified form of solar energy. Nothing, sun has nothing to do with the, you know, this plant. Even the same plant can also what? Can even get scorched and become dry in the sun's heat. But still, when the sun is scorching heat is there, every plant can die also. But still, every plant, what you see as green, especially spring comes, my God, you see the whole London is, no? Everywhere you can see how beautiful, because all fresh leaves, fresh flowers. The freshness is what now? Actually, modified form of solar energy. And actually, and what our physical energy, the energy we have expressed, what now? Energy exhausted in all our perceptions, in understanding, in knowledge, in doing. My God, all our energy exhausted, what now? We say the physical energy, mental energy, intellectual energy, prana, and all of them are because of the prana in here, in the physical body. The food energy converted is the physical, the human, all the energy in all living beings. The food energy obtaining in the form of the plants converted alone is what? All the energy obtaining in from the form of all the living beings, all the living creatures, not only human beings, all the jangama, the mobile living beings are nothing but modified form of, the converted form of the food energy in the form of this sthavara energy. Sthavara shakti becomes jangama shakti. So surya shakti, aditya shakti becomes sthavara shakti. Sthavara shakti becomes jangama shakti. The power, all the energy obtaining in all the living being, mobile living creatures. Which means what? Now, what is our science? Again, what? Manifestation of power. What is technology? Manifestation of power. So everything is what? Energy. Surya shaktihi. Therefore, it's all solar energy. In fact, pervades in and through all the whole, every life. Therefore, all the living beings are blessed with nutrients, nutritions. Therefore, energized, enlivened by the sun god. Therefore, sun is what now? In fact, energizer, enlivener. Therefore, what say? Giver of life. Therefore, sun is what now? One gives life to all the beings. In fact, that is why I don't need to tell you here, it is irrelevant, but still I want to tell you the meaning of the word Suryaha. In Sanskrit, every word has a meaning. Suryaha, Suryaha, why SU in sun? In English, we don't have any meaning. Why sun is called sun? S-U-N, sun. I don't know Latin and Greek. For me to, you know, to extract the meaning from that root, I don't know. But in Sanskritam, we have a meaning. Sushtu eerayati iti suryaha. Eerayati means enlivens, energizes. How? Obtaining in the form of the nutrients of the plants. One who enlivens all the beings is called Suryaha, energizer. Suryaha means energizer. That's called Shaurya, means what? Energetic is a Shaurya. Okay? For Sushtu Yirayati iti Suryaha. Anyway, so, and now we say, not only energy, also what? The whole light is also for source of light, also is Suryaha. That's why Bhaskaraha. Bhasate, Bhasayati, Bhaska, Bhas means light. Not B-O-S-S, Bhas. Bhas. In fact, Bhas also what? Some Bhas he has light, isn't it? Bhas means light. Bhaskaraha means one who, the maker of the day. Divakaraha, Dinakaraha, Sudhakaraha. Again, Sudha means nectar. Nectar, why Sudha means what? Nectar. And what is nectar? Anything which gives you life is a nectar. So the food also is what? Nectar. Because it helps you live your life. Without food, we'll all die. So what is it which helps us live our lives? For us to live, the basic we need is food. And the food is, therefore, nectar. Anything which helps you live your life is a nectar, amritam. Sudha means nectar. And sudhakaraha means maker of the nectar in terms of food. And therefore, sudhakaraha, divakaraha, dinakaraha, bhaskaraha. No, like, and one who really, but through his rays of light, one who even kills the germs, protects also, protector. That's why we say what? Rashmi Man, Gabasti Man. Like that we have Rashmi, he means ray of light. The sun has so many glories, and this sun, highly glorious sun, because sun is the energy enlivener, one who lends life for all the beings. In the same way, Omkaraha also is the protector of all the beings. How? Omkara protects, he says. Omkara also protects means, when we perform the rituals and we are uttering Omkaraha, and thereby the rituals become effective, efficacious in terms of producing the results. So when you perform the rituals, offer oblations to devatas, uttering Omkaraha, then what? The oblations offered to the devatas reach the devatas, and devatas become propitiated. See, it's a significance of worship also is revealed here. Now, when we offer oblations, offering means what? In a symbolic act of offering, even if you offer a small flower to Bhagavan, thanking, expressing your thanks, an act of offering. Thereby, Bhagavan in the form of devatas become propitiated. And as a result of the act of propitiation, even though they do not expect the propitiation, they don't expect a recognition, acknowledgement, but this being a will-involved action on your part, definitely the karma produces the result. For what? You are blessed with all forms of prosperity. That means you are blessed with the abundance of crops, abundance of food. Dhanya samruddhi means you have abundance of crops, the food. the way water, there's a big, great wealth for us. In whichever country where abundance of food, where there is no poverty, there will not be antisocial elements. Okay? And here, poverty, absence of poverty must be in the form of abundance of production of food. Okay? Only then, see, simply by giving money, because affluence, spoiling, there will be ailments. People are not suffering. But here, Shastram says this. Always. No? Therefore, by Omkara also, an invoked and uttered in the form of rituals produces results of, contributes for production of the results in terms of the prosperity. That by Omkara also is what? Contribute for protection. Therefore, it's a similar feature. And the third one, third similarity is, third feature, similar feature is, common feature between Omkara and Sun is, Omkaraha, I don't know, let us see first, Sun. The Suryaha illumines, by its mere presence, illumines and thereby removes the darkness. By removing the darkness, Sun removes the, contributes for the resolution of fear caused by evil forces. We only believe the evil forces exist only in darkness. That is why we always like to keep the lights on. Or we light the lamp in the morning. The evil forces, no, this they believe can be there only in darkness. If it is not there also, darkness is somehow frightening. We never like to go in darkness. You know, if it's very dark, if you are asked to go alone in darkness, and you will be frightened. Anyway, darkness is what? Somehow, it causes fear in you. Therefore, the Surya Bhagavan, just by illumining by his illumination, power of his illumination, removes the darkness and also what, thereby removes the fear caused by darkness, removes the fear caused by the evil forces obtaining in darkness. In the same way, Omkaraha also, when meditated upon the meaning of Omkara, when you dwell upon the meaning of Omkara, then Omkaraha also contributes for meditation upon the meaning of Omkaraha, not the glory of Omkara, the meaning of Omkara, contributes for vision of the truth. Thereby contributing with the vision of the truth, by blessing you with the knowledge of the truth, Omkara also what now helps you resolve the ignorance of darkness of ignorance. By helping resolve the darkness of ignorance, Omkara also what now contributes for the removal of fear of death, the fear of samsara caused by the darkness of ignorance. So, ajnana nashana dwara bhayam apanayati omkaraha. Omkara removes bhayam apanayati. It removes the fear. It frees, liberates you, frees you from fear caused by the darkness of ignorance by blessing you with the knowledge, vision of the truth when you meditate upon the meaning of Omkara. So Sun also what now? By spreading its rays of light, by removing the darkness, it removes the fear caused by darkness and the evil forces obtaining in the darkness. So, Suryaha is also Bhayanashakaha. remover of fear. And Omkaraha also is what? Bhayanashakaha, remover of fear. This is a common feature between Omkara and Adityaha. So remembering these three common factors, common features, okay, between Omkaraha and Adityaha, and here Shastra says what? May you meditate upon the sun, visualize the sun, invoke the sun in Udgitaha. This meditation is called what? Aditya Pratika Udgita Upasanam. Aditya Pratika Udgita Upasanam. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.